This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Deborah Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know that whenever you hear us on air, it is a show that brings you all things business. This is 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. If ever you've just tuned in, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com, or you can even download the Cliff Central app to actually get to hear the exciting discussion that we're having today. Today, I'm very much talking. Guys, English will fail you in the most awkward times. So today, we're talking about the most exciting and interesting discussion that is very close to my heart. I've had an opportunity of running this business myself for the longest time and really made a great success out of it before we actually sold it. But however, I'm in studio today with ladies that have actually taken up the baton to actually decide that they will run this business. And I've seen them do exciting stuff. And hence, obviously, you know that this time of the year, we always try by all means to become more or less on serious business, but more in on lifestyle kind of businesses that, you know, people would love to actually engage on and definitely touch base on. We cannot always throughout the year be talking numbers, figures, facts and stuff. But however, I'm not alone in studio. I'm with the producer of the show, my girl, Tonya Cocodil. Is it Cocodia? Why am I always missing your?
I don't know.
I know we must put it's either Condia there or
no. It's not okay.
Is it? No. Okay. Say hi to our listeners.
Hi everyone. So today, very excited about this topic. I think everyone in this room is in one way or the other in the industry. I myself am in the industry, but we are here to talk to the experts, the people who make it their life's mission to handle running events. This is an industry that is very close to, I think, most Africans, because I mean, we like a good party. I mean, let's just be really honest. It is event season. We know these guys are so busy at this time of the year, and so we decided to steal them away to just share some nuggets on how they run the business and how they're cashing in, because we know they are.
Did you just say they're experts?
They're experts.
Oh really?
Oh my gosh!
Oh okay. So you reckon we're gonna be blown away?
We're gonna be blown away. I don't wanna name drop, but we know what Precious has been doing lately in Mauritius.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Oh
yeah,
okay.
Precious.
No. It's not a problem. But hey, if ever you're saying they expect, I'm sure then we'll get straight to it. Correct?
Yes, absolutely.
No, definitely. Our topic today is a very interesting and exciting discussion, because on how people have successfully cashed in Africa's love for social events. The festive season is fast approaching, and that means industry professionals such as today's guests are fully occupied with back-to-back events. Our first guest in studio is Precious Tamaga. Is it Tamaga or Tamaga? Yeah. What is it? No, that's what I'm asking.
It's Tamaga.
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 What's the sort of
Betty?
Oh, okay. You see, you should have said Kimu Betty from the onset. It changes everything. So our first guest is Precious Tamaga, most popularly known as Precious the Planner. Is the founder and CEO of Precious Celebrations. She has a diploma in event management and project management with over 9 years' experience in the industry. Precious has planned over 200 amazing events all over South Africa and has extended her expertise to Zimbabwe, Swaziland, Botswana, and most recently Mauritius. Precious is one of South Africa's most sought after wedding and event planner and is a real leader in the event industry. And our next guest is Gugule Tuzwane, the co-founder of Mbalenhle Beautiful Creations, a wedding planning service that coordinates all the components that lead to success of one's special day. Our final guest is Sipho Sihle Losite, who's the founder of Ilosi Event Management, offering high quality support staff such as ushers, hostesses, promoters, waiters, barmen for corporate and social events. I know that she's been on the show before. But more than anything, let me take this opportunity to welcome our guests in studio. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Tell me, you cannot tell me we didn't find a gents. Where's the guy?
You know what? I feel like everything, if a woman does it, it's happened. You know, it's so much better. It's so much bigger, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, so we don't really need them. And you're the only gent we need, so it's fine.
Oh, is it?
It's fine. They'll be strong.
Okay. Precious, why are they not men?
As women, we're very detailed, we're very meticulous, yes. We just get it right from the onset. It's just in our nature.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine. While you're at it, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Thank you for the intro. I'm Precious, known as Precious the Planner. I'm a wedding and event planner and designer and CEO and founder of Precious Celebrations. I've been in the industry for over 11 years now. And we specialize in luxury weddings, bespoke celebrations.
So the kind of wedding that I should have, ne?
The kind of wedding everybody should have.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, we can.
And also we specialize in brand experiences. So just on a different side of corporate events. So we give a brand an experience to their customers, stakeholders in a different way than a typical corporate event.
Nice. I like that. Ma'am, you are?
Hi. My name is Sipisihle Losi. I am the managing director for iLosi Events Management. What I do, I basically supply your ushers, waiters, barmen, hostesses, and registration database administrators at events for corporate clients and business owners. I've been in the industry for about 5 years, 6 years now, and I'm all about the service. I'm one person, if you want to have a VVIP service, I'm the person to pretty much offer the service to, you know, the people that came to experience the event and have a very meaningful event besides everything else. But I think it's all about, you know, the service.
Okay. Precious, looking into Precious, sorry, why can't I just get my brothers to come wait till they give them ties and shirts there?
Here's the thing. I think
I've got cousins there, you know, I've got sisters, I take them.
But before they can even work, they need to go through a training.
Okay.
I think when you, there's a difference when you are at a social event and when you are at a corporate event, how you stand, how you address the clients or the delegates or the customers, you know, and how you stand, how you, you know, the way you dress and, you know, covering up and how you walk to the client, how you show people certain things, you know, there's, they call it a protocol sort of like training or procedure that you have to go through in order to actually be a good candidate to work at a corporate event, at a public event, at a private, social, luxury, depends.
Yeah. Precious, Uspe is complicating my life. Do I need all this?
Of course. It can ruin everything. If you're a guest and you arrive at an event and the person that's welcoming you is not on point, they're not professional, they're not dressed properly, they're chewing gum.
Yes.
all sorts of things. It creates the first impression that you don't want that.
Okay.
Couldn't go wrong in so many ways.
Hi, let's come to Gugu. Say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are. What is it you do?
My name is Guguletse Zwane, and I'm the co-founder of Mbalenhle Beautiful Creations. And we basically specialize in eventing from end to end, from the planning to the coordinating and everything for both corporate and for private, actually.
We use cousins and brothers, ne?
No, I actually agree with the ladies.
How now, Fuji?
I fully agree because it does actually set the tone as well, because you don't want people to be sitting and fetching their own drinks. So you have someone who actually is there to cater to your needs, and it makes it a lot more easier for your guests to relax.
Yeah, ne? Yeah. These people. So it means then my cousins and everything, they're going to be running out of a job because you guys are practically firing them. So, but I guess let's get to the business of today. I mean, everyone has a story on how they began their journey, on their interest in the line of trade that we particularly in. So I'd like to know, you know, with you, Precious, how did your journey start and how did it unfold? Today we see you as Precious the Planner. Asaz go to Buya Api. Maybe you grew up planning, or you were slept into it, or something. You know, tell us.
Oh, that was funny. So my journey into planning, I think, gosh, it's not that I was a young child and all I dreamed about was planning events, no. So my first job after varsity or college, if you say so, I worked for a corporate company, Sun International.
Mm-hmm.
And my first job, I was a receptionist. So I think as a receptionist, you kind of see everything.
Okay.
And at that time, the company, which still does, organized Miss South Africa Nedbank Golf Challenge.
Oh, nice.
So as a receptionist, I saw all these people come in and out, and you know, it looked very exciting. Mm. So where I was,
we're the ones that come to those things. Yeah.
So the PR department that managed all these events was right above where I sat.
Okay.
So I could see all the movement all the time, and I just said, you know, I want to go up there and see what happens. It looks very exciting. So that's kind of where the love started, and I really put work into it and research, and wanted to grow into the different levels of actually reaching to a point where I could actually plan my own event. So it didn't just happen overnight. So from receptionist, I moved into being a PA to one of the GMs in the company.
Okay.
And she was close with the PR manager, and I told her, you know, this is not where I want to be. I'm going to do my job, but I want to go upstairs. And she's like, okay, I like your honesty. So she would tell me if a position was coming up in PR. So when it did, I took the opportunity and moved into that world. And I made sure I studied to back up my interest. And it's not just, you know, something that looks fun because everybody can, you know, they think this industry is just fun and games. It's a hobby. We just make things pretty.
Mm.
We don't put much thought into it. It's a skill. It takes quite a lot of patience and a detailed person. So I wanted to make sure that I've got a backup. It's not just the love and the passion that's there. So that's why I went to study.
Mm.
And yeah.
So how important it is to study though? Because I've realized a lot of people just wake up, I want to do events, I want to do branding, and they just jump into it. They're thinking this thing is easy.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, I see it with, I do a masterclass every year. I did my second one this year, and every year I'm amazed of how many people.
And where are you promoting that masterclass? Because you've not come to me and said you're doing masterclass.
I don't need to.
Oh, wow.
No.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's if I may say it, I've looked up to other people. Okay. I've had a lot of requests people to like for me to mentor, and I just feel like I still need to grow myself as a brand and as a business.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a way for me to just do something in one day where I get to share my experience and people, if they've got questions about the industry, just so that they're not deceived and thinking it's easy and there's money to make right away. It's a business. You have to think of it as running any business.
Yeah.
You know, it's financial management. You have staffing, a lot of things go into it. It's not just, you know, wake up and do it.
Mm.
So I think from that, I realized how many people think the industry is easy to just get into. A lot. So
I can imagine.
So studying is important.
Yeah, I used to do events. We would do your product launches. We involve in your makufes and many others. I try to shy away from weddings. I did a wedding for a few people that were close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, some of it were drama. So I think it's good that ladies were doing those events. Pei, how did you start?
Well, I think for me, the industry kind of chose me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been, obviously after high school, I went to study and then I studied travel and tourism. After studying travel and tourism, I then moved to fashion design. So on my second year in fashion, actually on my first year in fashion, I would, you know, sit in class, chat and all of that stuff. And some of my friends, they would, you know, they had piss jobs. That was back in Cape Town. They had piss jobs. They would go and waiter there and all of that. So they came back the one time. They were like, you know what? You've got so much energy. How about you join us? Because our company is actually looking for staff. And I'm still always up to, you know, I'm always amped to do something, you know. And so it started then.
Okay.
And I remember my first event, I think it was the Jazz Festival. And, you know, what I liked about the events that I used to do at the time, you know, they were very interesting. You know, you would see, I mean, back in the days, you know, you see celebrities, we do like your JNB Met before it was called the Sun Met. We did a lot of interesting events, and I actually liked the industry. And, you know, obviously with working hours, long working hours, you get more money. And, you know, as a student, I was like, jeepers, I would do this all the time, anytime, you know. And when I finished studying, I then tried to move, obviously, to like a day job and all of that. And when I did that, I was still not, I was not the person that I was back then. And that's when I decided to go back into the industry. And also, a lot of people, when I left events, a lot of people will still text me because, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, there's a job somewhere, they need girls, they need guys, they need people to work. Mm-hmm. You call up a friend, you post up a text, I mean, a status on Facebook, and you're like, guys, who's willing to 1, 2, 3, 4, there's a training happening wherever and all of that. So people will still text me and say, hey, please hook us up, please hook us up.
Mm-hmm.
So I then, in the long run, I saw it as an opportunity for me to start up my own thing and basically lead. And I didn't know I was actually starting a business, and that's now another story.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mentioned about education, how important it is, I think it's very important, especially if now you're going to lead people and you're going to, you know, approach clients and all of that. You need to have sort of like a structure and educate. For me, I self-educate myself in terms of, if I know I'm struggling with something, I can quickly go on YouTube and I can Google something, or, you know, approach people that I know that are in the industry, or people that I know they are within the environment that I kind of need help from. And I've always gotten like a feedback or an advice that was, you know, really good. And hence I'm still here.
Okay. You were attending an event, or you were at an event that I was attending on Saturday.
Yes.
You were looking on point.
Thank you.
And you were presenting wine.
Yes. So basically, the company that I went to present, they are my clients.
Okay.
But before they were my clients, I actually used to promote for them back in varsity.
Okay.
I used to promote for them, and so that was 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided to start my own company, I then approached them and said, you know, look, guys, this is now what I do. If you ever need promoters, wherever, I'm able to supply you guys with stuff. So they were very able to, you know, help me out, because I've been with them for a very long time, and I've promoted and I've made sales for them and all of that. So at that event, they were sponsoring the event, and then they asked me to go and represent to them, because it was a women's entrepreneurship social. And
mm-hmm.
They did look around the company and said, you know what, the person that can represent our brand, that can sell our brand, that can promote our brand, is no one else but Lossy. And
how important is image in this business?
It is very important. I mean, like Precious mentioned, she's more into luxury events, you know. So you can't go to a luxury event or go and approach a luxury client looking basic. Do you know what I mean? Because it's about, I don't know how to say it, but it's about the whole image. Do you get what I mean? Like, if you're greeting somebody, you know, you don't address them as, hey guys, or whatever. You say, good day, sir, good morning, gentlemen, or do you get what I mean? Because it involves each and everything, even the way you talk to the people or how you address them in terms of, you know, your signs, how you're standing, the posture. It's everything, you know, so you kind of have to look at into every detail and know and position yourself in terms of, oh, okay, now I'm going to this type of event, so I need to sell this. After this, I need to go to this type of event. I need to, you know, look a certain way, because it's different brands that we work with. So you kind of have to, and the people that are working, they always represent the brand. So I can't go there being myself, but I need to go there and represent my client. And my client right now is a luxury client. So if my client says, Lossy, I want you to put a red lipstick in heels and do whatever that you do, I have to do that, because at the end of the day, that's what the client prefers at that time.
Yeah. Gugu,
hello.
When are you were taken, but now again, and now my events?
Not necessarily. I think everyone has a journey, and mine started when I was part of an apprenticeship, and I got an opportunity to work for one of the biggest chemical companies in the industry. And then I started in sales, actually. And I think I I wasn't quite happy there. And the marketing, the head of marketing at BASF decided to ask me to be their intern. And I think that's where the seed was planted for me. And we used to do like big corporate events, from your year-end functions, your trade fairs, to exhibitions, traveling to Kenya and all around the world, launching offices and opening offices and all of this. So I think that's where the love of eventing started. And I saw how easily it comes to me. I think as much as we say that you can go to school for something, but if it doesn't really necessarily come easily to you, or you have that passion for it or the love for it as well, it becomes really difficult. You need to psych yourself up, you need to push yourself to do something. So one of the things that actually happened to me was that it actually really came easy. And in terms of being meticulous and paying attention to detail, that's something that I actually have. And you have to be flexible as well. So I was one of those people who was flexible. But when my journey ended at BASF, I've always been a very business savvy person, in terms of I knew that I wanted to be in business, but not necessarily what I wanted to do. So I decided to resign, because I was there for, I think, all my life, 7 years. And I got an international diploma in business administration, which is recognized by the German Chamber of Commerce. I decided that, thank you very much. You've taught me all that I needed to know. I need to move on to my next phase in life, or my next season in life. And I think I stayed for about 4 months without working or doing anything. But the initial idea was to start a business. But sometimes not everything that you plan goes accordingly, you know. So within that 4 months of not working, I think I decided, and I spoke to God. I was like, Lord, what is my next step in this? What do I need to do now? So I had a conversation with my parents. That was in 2016.
Yeah.
Had a conversation with my parents. I'm like, we need to somehow use our God-given talents to better our lives, you know, to enrich our lives. How do we then move from where we are, use what we know and what we have and we're gifted with, to enrich ourselves? So one of the things that was like, okay, I spoke to my dad and mom. We're sitting in the lounge area, and I was like, you know, I'd love to do events, you know. I actually want to do events. And this is the idea, this is the vision. My dad, who's very good with his hands, he was like, he was very in it. My mom, being the skeptic that she is, but very supportive, she's like, you, as much as you want to do business, this, but you need to have a solid plan. What is the plan?
Okay.
And they were both sold with it. We prayed that night. That was in 2016. We prayed, we told God everything, the details, the finer details. When I got home myself, I actually said, okay, Lord, this is the vision. We currently do not have the means to buy any equipment or anything that is needed for an events company, but we're trusting you for this. Registered the company by faith. I know it sounds a bit weird, but by faith, we actually registered the company in 2016. 2016 passed, 2017 came, but then that's when I was working for Standard Bank in digital banking. That was, I think, in 2017.
So you went from being a banker to doing events?
Yes.
Okay, but for me, you know why I'm asking that, ne? Because I've seen you very particular in, you do beautiful work.
You
know,
very much.
You know, and I've seen the level of standard to that you do. I would think, Guti, it's somebody that has been in years. For me, from Precious' point of view, I understand it's something that she grew into this and she's been in it. Yeah. Do you understand? So I think for me, I wouldn't have thought, it's something that you've now been doing, what, a year, just over a year?
Yeah.
You know, in the space. So, but now for me, it's something that I think, let me bring this one to you, Precious, that you see there's a lot of young girls and boys out there that are trying to get into this space, and like you said, that think it's easy. Do you understand? And others, I've realized one thing came for me when I was in the space. The problem that I realized that was storage, because we always had to be buying equipment. Do you understand? And right now, by the time we would use that equipment for a certain period of time, and that equipment would run out of tuning, because now there's new things that were coming in, and from an evolving point of view. And for us, we wanted to buy and hold on to stock. Now, I was sitting with inventory. That is money sitting there. So now let's talk to a person that is starting. Do you understand? A person that is getting into it. What... buying versus renting. When should you buy? When should you rent? What should you own? What should you lease out?
I'll say firstly, determine what your strengths are.
Okay.
I mean, anyone can hire anything out. But the problem is how well you keep it in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
And you raised a good point. Not everything is always going to be untrained.
True.
So I made sure my business model is my strengths are planning and designing. So I'm not going to buy chairs that are in 2016 and 2018. I have to refurbish them and make sure they look 2019.
I
think the best advice would be when you start, don't think of capital to buy your actual supply and equipment. That's not the job. If you've got a client and they give you a budget of whatever it is, there's people that just specialize in hiring out. They don't plan, they don't design, they don't coordinate on the day. So I think finding your niche and saying this is my speciality, is gonna help. So you don't. My preference, it depends. You have to find your niche, but the way I know works so that you focus on what you really there to do is if you prefer just setting up and styling and leaving, then buy your own equipment because you have the infrastructure to change and recover. You know, change how a chair looks and put a different color on it. But if you positioning yourself as an all-rounder, you're gonna put yourself in a situation where you arrive, a client is expecting a setup to be done, the setup to be managed, you carry on throughout the evening to make sure clients are happy. That's just a bit too much. That's where you leave room for disappointment because now you're trying to do everything. So find your niche, and if your niche is designing a look and a concept for a client, then hire it out.
Okay, so now let's talk pricing,
because
now a layman on the street, do you understand? Let's say right now I might not afford Precious the planner. So and that's why you find Ntombi there sitting in Dube. For her, it was easier for her to keep on have equipment, because now when somebody wants the wedding, they don't still need to go get someone. Do you understand? Because that works. It's part of their overheads. But if ever I've got it here, I'm able to just take and put and still charge minimal for somebody else to get married. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And let me bring it home. You know, from a point of bazalan, you know, bazalan, but you know, they just take someone and they just said, you need to get married. Do you understand? So they do not afford some of these things. That's why they'll take Ubanban or Nidulo, they'll take whatever and this and this and that. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where sometimes you find with some of the furniture it's outdated. Some of this and this and that. Do you understand? So now for me, when is it from the onset that you made a conscious decision to say, when are you a designer, you nothing else? Do you understand? And you will focus on people that you can get source equipment for. So in that way, it keeps your equipment relevant. It keeps your equipment in this and that. So I want us to really be able to build, you know, so that right now, because for me, it used to disturb me when we were doing Abu Makuf and many other events, that when we look at at the time we didn't have about Precious the planner. Do you understand? Maybe you are still a small company, and right now we wouldn't normally give you a chance, kind of thing. Do you understand?
Mm.
So how do we get those young people to grow their business so that they're able to play with the big boys?
I think marketing yourself in the most professional way, because a lot of people can do it. It's free. It's out there. Social media is a powerful platform for anyone that's starting a business. You don't need to pay unless you're sponsoring an advert. But in the day that in the age we're living, you don't really need to spend money on marketing your brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being relevant and keeping up with the trends and positioning yourself in the correct way and not confusing a customer what you actually do, because a lot of people can see someone's beautiful work, but then what do you do? Is it yours? Do you rent out? Are you a planner? Are you a designer? I don't confuse that message. If someone invites me to talk somewhere and they want me to do a demo of doing floral arrangements, I'm going to say no, because I designed the look and I'll tell my florist, this is the type of flowers I want.
I like that, yeah.
Because then I keep up with the trends. They're not going to keep giving me the same old things because they need to get it out of storage and make money out of it. So your new people that are coming in and starting up, it's just them finding your place in the industry because there's a lot of us. The minute you find your place and say, this is what I'm going to focus on and this is what I'm going to do, it might take a while for a person organizing the makufes or those kind of events to spot you in the crowd. But once you do and you find your niche, it's very easy. You don't have to go look out for the business because someone will say, that's exactly what I want. So someone that wants a timeless wedding, luxurious wedding, elegant, that's who we are. We don't try and, you know, be too much on trend because trends disappear. So you have to position yourself the way that you want someone. If they're looking for something, they Google, you'll be the first person that they pick up because you're not confusing your message. You're saying exactly what you want people to see you as.
Tanya, I know you want to say something.
I do. So here's my thing about misconceptions. Because obviously with pricing, there's this misconception that no, all event managers should be offering, you know, similar prices. So for example, I go to Gugu and she quotes me X amount and Precious now quotes me 3x amount. But you know, Gugu gave it to me cheaper. But the thing is, now another thing that I have an issue with is part of the same issue. There is no sort of a regulatory body union type of situation where you can actually say, no, Precious, you can't charge this because this is what we are offering as event planners of SA, for example. So now, how do you guys address, I think I should throw it to Gugu first, how do you address this thing of pricing where people feel like, oh, I'm going to go to someone who's more affordable because, oh, you're so expensive, and you really can't do anything about it.
Yeah. For me, it's all about let my work speak for me, you know, because just like your Pepsis, your Cokes, they've built their brand.
Yes.
And they know when they charge you 12 Rand or 15 Rand, you're going to pay for that because they've built their brand. So what we do now is that we work hard. We try by all means to prove ourselves and we let our work speak for us. So if you think that my services and my hands are too expensive for you, gladly you can go to someone who will be able to provide you with the services that you need at the amount that you need. But for me, my brand is everything and I work hard for my brand. So you'll pay me.
Precious, you must see Gugu's work.
I've seen her work.
You've seen it. Yeah, no, it's been interesting. So, I mean, when I speak, what are some of the misconceptions from a pricing point of view that you've experienced in your work?
I think, firstly, I don't really much relate into the whole pricing and stuff because I'm more into staffing. So tell me if you need your ushers and your waiters and stuff. They do all the planning. They do all the hard work. They do all of that stuff. Then when it's done, when you need people to now, you know, I would say entertain or welcome your guests and stuff like that, that's where I come in. And obviously, depending if you want waiters, if you want barmen, if you want a database administrators, that differs comparing to what is our job for the day. Like for instance, a price for a barman will be higher than a waiter because a barman is going to have to deal with ice, is going to fetch stock. That's more hard work and all of that stuff. A person that is going to be like a data is going to be on registration and registering and stuff. So you're kind of going to need like your students that can type fast. So you kind of need to pay a little bit more because that person is computer literacy and all of that stuff. So, and with the waiters, it's different in terms of do you now want your standard waiters or your high waiters, you know, depending on the type of event. So my pricing is very like basic. And then I just, you tell me how many hours.
I have another question. Sorry to cut you off, Spe. But I think yours might even be, in my opinion, more difficult because now we're having a conversation to everybody in this room who happens to be in the event space. So it makes perfect sense to me. But there's somebody listening who's thinking, but why must, this was the very first thing Tepoha asked when we started the show. He said, how do you convince somebody that there's value in staff? Because it makes sense that I'm paying for decor. It makes sense that I'm paying for tires cooking and culinary. But convince me that I mustn't use cousin.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's Precious, where do you get your waiters?
So I make sure if it's a venue that doesn't provide its own staffing. Mm. So the location is important, because if you have to use different people all the time, then you don't have a standard that you keep, you uphold to. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about a regulatory body, you know, it's easier for her industry, for space industry, mm-hmm. because I think almost everyone charges the same, like an hourly rate for a waiter. But if a client doesn't see value in having someone that will make sure guests are happy, then do it at home. Even at home, you need someone to help and make sure things are running smooth. So that for me is not a difficult one to convince a client for staffing, because it's actually it's not that expensive in terms of if I look at my entire budget when I plan a wedding. It's other things that, you know, someone wants the Precious celebration look of flowers, and you tell them how much flowers are, and then they don't understand. They want to spend this little, but they want this big.
Yeah.
So I think when you can see it, touch it, when it's something that you can only like visualize until the day, it's very difficult to convince a client. So I don't think she's good. She doesn't have a tough job convincing someone that if you have 100 guests, you need 10 waiters, because 10 people are at a table. You know, if they need a drink, instead of them getting up, if you're happy that they go to the bar, then be it. But so I think for more event planners, florists or designers, it's really not fair for a customer to expect that our prices are the same.
And for me, it's interesting that Google Precious knows your work.
Yeah, I'm also
so I'd like to hear Precious though from where you're sitting, ne? By far more experienced than she is. Do you understand? Different levels, different league.
I wouldn't say that. I listen to her. She's got corporate experience just like me. So she just started much later to take that leap of faith and start her own business. So my grounding and my confidence to say I'm going to do this is literally because the 7 years of my corporate events that I used to do gave me that, you know, step ahead.
Okay.
So don't underestimate your experience working for somebody. It's free education. You learn skills. You need that to be able to run your own business, because it's not for child's play.
It's
true. So now let's do a life mentorship session. So for a minute, if you were to advise Google, what would you say?
I would
There's another Google that is listening, by the way. And Tebo and Tabo and whoever.
And Dombie.
Yeah.
I think her messaging is very direct. It's not confusing. But I think to get more leverage and to limit doing too much, specialize in like not more than 3 areas. Because the minute now you do kind of everything from food, from decor, from doing the actual flowers, the setup, and then coordinating, unless you have a huge team, it kind of confuses what your strengths are. It will take more time for you to say, this is my niche, I'm good at this. And I think once you realize what you're good at, that's how you stand out amongst the crowd. I used to hate my name growing up in school, because people would think, "Ah, you're not South African. That's such a Zim name, Precious." And I'm like, "No, I'll use Dumisho, you know, African name." But when I came up, it took so long for me to come up with my company name that represented me, and I believed in it. So if your story of how you actually started and made sure that you speak your vision and you prayed about it before you actually went to do it, that's very important. That's why we all here, because you believe in your brand.
True.
And you know what your speciality is and what your strengths are. So I don't just call my brand Precious Celebrations. It's my name. If anything goes wrong, it's my name. Never mind the business name. It's my name. And celebrations, it means anything. So it's important, you know, for UTEP or Google, when you come up with a name, don't just, you know, go like Wuntle something. Everything is pretty, but does it speak to what you do?
Yeah.
If you, along the way, you want to change and grow into something else, will it still align with your, the vision you've had for your business when you started?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I think if it's just narrowing it down and keeping it very niche and not too much. Yeah.
So when I use, do you specialize in weddings? For me, because I think do you specialize? Because I think when I went to your, I've seen you, you do more weddings, or is it more weddings that you showcase?
No, I prefer weddings.
Okay.
We, so our first love is weddings. So, and thereafter any celebration. So like a birthday, a company celebration, a launch, and we just don't take any client if it doesn't speak to the Precious Celebration brand. You know, I wouldn't want to do something that I can't be
Precious,
proud of.
You're my girl, so you can't reject me if I'm like, say, Precious, girl, I'm hosting.
Yeah, but hosting so all of those things matter, because you know, I've worked hard to be, you know, where my brand is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to dilute it by doing now. I go host like a party, go, let me not offend people. No, I'm not going to say, but like it has to, you know, induce some creativity in us.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? For me, okay, I think in the conversation, I've seen you've spoken about your brand a lot. For me, it tells me that to you, this is way more than a business.
Mm.
Do you understand? You take your brand serious. I mean, you're now sitting on almost 100,000 followers. Ne?
Mm.
So for me, that I've realized it even in how you post. You're very intentional.
Yes.
Do you understand? You're doing this because you want that. I'm doing this. I'm going to put this button here because I want that outcome and this and that. Do you understand? So, and it's a good thing. I'm very intentional. Do you understand?
Not.
Okay, speak.
It's not too much thought into it. It's just the way I am.
Okay. So.
It comes easy.
Okay.
It's just the nature. I'm very detailed. Even if I'm, you know, it's apparent the kind of things that I like. That's why my page, it's not just business, because I want someone, when they book Precious Celebrations, they've had a bit of a insight of the type of person I am. It makes it easier when they come for a consultation, not to be like, oh, it's not who, yo, I thought you were this. It's you already, because it's a very personal business. That's why I prefer private clients. If it was more corporate clients, then my page wouldn't showcase so much of my personal life as well. So some of the things are intentional when it comes to the messaging. Because after I do a wedding, I tell a story. So it's not just a post and here, this is what it looked like. So for you to kind of be in the situation, like I want someone reading it out there to feel like they were actually part of the experience.
Tonya, Precious is here. Do you know Farah?
Farah Fortune. Yes.
I'm gonna be having an intense conversation with Farah around how to use social media, and how to get yourself out there. Can I invite you as well? I think there's a lot of you've paid your school fees, you've paid your dues, and I think it would be an interesting debate to have you to have Farah.
No, she'd kill me, that one. She's such a social media.
The pit bull for nothing.
No.
I feel like you can hold your own.
Yeah, no. I think so too. So, but I think for me, you'd give me the debate that I want. I love having debates. I love having conversations, and sure. I think you're the same individual. Can I extend that invite?
Yeah, sure.
No, definitely would be honored. So, ma'am, are you planning anything anytime soon?
Planning as a not
event.
I've been,
do you have something coming up?
Booking. Okay. I don't plan events. I wait for bookings.
Yeah.
Or I look out for bookings.
Is it? Okay.
You should plan.
That's a life for life lesson.
Njay.
Then you don't need to wait.
Tell her.
Yeah, I'm saying like it's either I go and look for business.
Yeah.
Or I wait for business. I don't plan in terms of like the whole events and stuff.
So like for me, I go to a typical blackjack. I didn't know SPay exists, for example. So, I mean, if I knew and she's out there, I would support, you know, a black sister than someone I don't know with, like, upstairs sitting some guy with a beard that I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, if you see something forthcoming, it doesn't mean you're selling or looking. You can be up like a step ahead. Very easy. Very easily so. So you like if you see there's an event coming up, you've mentioned a few, like you know people have marquees and all of that.
Yes.
You can be the first one that takes over the whole, you know, SunMet. If a brand has got a marquee, your staffing is in there. So you can be quite upfront about it. So you actually in a way a planner without, you know, you might you know just give services of staffing, but it goes a long way in that pyramid of planning.
So like she said, if she knew you existed, she'd be supporting. So people that are listening that don't know you exist, where can they get hold of you?
Well, they can go on my website. It's www.ilosievents.co.za. So it's spelled as ilosievents.co.za. I am on Instagram. It's ilosievents_management. On Twitter, ilosievents_management. Facebook, ilosievents_management. Or you can still go on the website. All the details are there, email, telephone number, and all the links to the social pages as well.
Okay. Yes. Google, I want you to take Precious out for lunch. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be the other way around. I want you to take her out for lunch, and you must pay for it.
Okay, definitely.
Yes, and when she comes here, I'm going to ask her. You know, and I want to see those pictures. Just and that you took her out for lunch.
Okay.
We agree?
Does she agree? We also have to ask her.
Why are you putting her on the spot?
No, I have to.
No, lunch is always welcome. I love engaging with my industry colleagues. So, yeah. Okay. We learn from exchanging and talking.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Definitely. No, definitely.
So we'll definitely have a lunch.
Okay. So for people that want to get hold of you?
Okay. We are on all social media platforms. So it's at mbalentle_beautiful_creations, and you can also email us on info@mbalentlebc.co.za. We're still working on our website because branding is everything to me, so we're trying to get that right. And yeah, my cell phone number for bookings for any events is 078-213-5127.
Precious?
www.preciouscelebrations.co.za. I'm upgrading.
Precious Celebrations.
Yes. And Twitter and Instagram, it's Precious the Planner.
Oh, okay. So what are you upgrading to now?
I just bought a wedding magazine. So my services are, I'm growing the brand.
Nice.
So it's just a different offering. And, you know, you get to that stage where you need to just shake a few things up. So
yeah. Oh, okay. No, it's fine. This is home. So if you're launching, you whatever, give us a call.
Thanks, I will.
We'll more than definitely have
10
you.
10 minutes from the office.
Yeah, no, definitely. And we'll see if maybe for the new year if I can have you for my TV show as well.
Yeah, you're busy, man.
Yes. Gots to. Ma'am, are you happy?
I'm very happy.
Okay.
I told you it's the best.
Oh, okay. Yes. No, you did. Yes. So I usually, we close off the show in style. How we close off the show in style, I want a 30-second word of inspiration to someone that is on the verge of giving up. Your 30 seconds starts now.
My favorite quote of all time: if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. If you're scared, go for it scared.
Nice. Ma'am?
Expect problems and eat them for breakfast.
I like that. Ma'am?
I think conquering your fears will definitely lead you to greater things. So definitely conquer your fears, learn to manage your fears as well. So definitely.
Tonya?
Oh, me? So keep pushing. If you fail, get back up, dust it off, keep on going. This is what is expected in the events industry. Mm-hmm. It's very unpredictable, but that's the beauty of it. So you don't want to leave that kind of an industry.
No, definitely. What am I saying? I got into this industry by chance. I actually did or was doing marketing at the time. People thought I'm in events business. So they gave me an opportunity and I grabbed it with both hands. I think we all have a story as to how we start. But what matters is that you need to start. Because sometimes it's something else, wanting something, sitting at the back seat, but not doing anything about it. So they won't come to you unless you go to them. For me, I always say it doesn't matter how many times you fall. The measure of a man is how many times you dust yourself, get up and try again. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Deb Homafodi. And if you've missed out on the show, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com, go to podcast to actually get to this exciting show that we had. But we're back here again next week, same time, same place, 360 Biz. My name is Deb Homafodi. I'm out.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com. This is cliffcentral.com.